Bibles, if you would, please. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Once you arrive at chapter 12, look for verse number 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 22. Now, could we please stand together? If you'll stand, I'm going to read out loud. You may follow along silently. I call the sermon today, The Health of Our Church Body. The Health of Our Church Body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22, it says, Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. That word schism means division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And let's pray together. Father, bless us today with thy presence in church. I'm so grateful for visitors, local visitors, visitors from out of town, unexpected visitors, and then those that we would expect to be here. The young, the old, the single, the married. Oh, what a combination of people you've brought to this place this day. But God, the most important presence is yours. And I pray that your presence will be obvious. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the scripture. Now help us today not to do an injustice to your book, but might we leave here today understanding the Bible a little better, and might we live what is taught. If somebody here does not know Jesus, I pray they'd meet him today as personal Savior. But help this church body to be healthy. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and actually starting much, much earlier in the chapter from where we began to read, you see God is comparing the congregation of the church to a body. And each of us are a particular part. He said there in verse number 27, he said, Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I don't know the best way in the world to describe that. But if I were believing what I think I just read properly, that we have arms, we have legs, we have a head and a neck and a back, and there's so many different parts of a body, and we're all different parts of one body. Now, if I took my arm off here, and I'm not going to, but if I took my arm off here and showed you my arm independently, I could not say that's my body. That would be something independent, standing on its own, if you will. But the arm's attached to the rest of me, and I am, it's a little bit like an egg. An egg is made up of three parts, but it's one egg. You have a shell, you have a yolk, you have a white. If you separate them, you don't have the complete egg, but it's all one part. Now, God said the church, the New Testament church, those of us that are a part of it, we're a part of one body, if you will, and though we have separate, we are, of course, separate parts, but as a unit, we are one. This morning, we have people that are not here today because they're not well. There's a bit of sickness going around, and for a variety of reasons. I mean, there are people that have been injured. There are people that they've got the flu. There are some that have had some long-term illnesses that keep them out of church. And then my job, something that I do, and just so you know, I love my job. I love what I do. I couldn't do anything else. I pray to God and I tell God, if I ever can't do what I do, just kill me. And go ahead and take me to heaven. That's how I feel about my job. I love my job, but one of the hard parts about my job is when people are not well, or I do hospital calls. And I enjoy helping people in the hospital. It's just when people are not sick and they're people that you love, it's hard on you. I've spent in the last couple of weeks, I've spent some time in the emergency rooms. I've spent in and out of visiting people in the hospital and then nursing homes where people are sick, and then in and out of assisted living quarters, and then by to see someone at home that's been sick. And as a result of it, I got to thinking about this passage of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and how God compares the church to a body. And he makes that comparison quite well. When I was in and out of people's homes and nursing homes and assisted care living and in and out of more than one hospital in the last couple of weeks, I got to thinking about what I had seen in regard to people and their health and their bodies. And I watched people that I watched someone that had overheated and their body temperature had got so high that it made them sick. And I've seen people that had diseases, and I heard someone that was dehydrated, someone that actually suffering from malnutrition, and somebody that had some paralyzation going on, people that had a neck problem and someone that had a back problem. And I dealt with one where they've been going through this process of the hardening of their arteries. Someone that had a heart problem and someone that had been gotten into something that had poisoned them. One where a lady thought she was going, a first-time mother thought she was going into labor. She was not. They call it false labor, and they got other technical terms for it. But she thought she was going into labor. And I heard of all of that, and I seen all that. Well, I'd been studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Bible actually compares the church body, you and I, members of the church, to a body. And I got to thinking about how, you know, God, you and I want to keep our bodies healthy. We like that. So that means God would like it if the church body would be healthy as well. We are all parts of this spiritual body, if you will. And did you notice that the Scripture said that when one suffers, they all suffer, but at the same time, when one is honored or blessed, then there's a certain blessing in it for us all. Because we're all a part of the body. Now, I don't know what part of the body you're going to be, and I don't know what part of the body I'm going to be. There, you know, a couple parts I just flat out don't want to be. But you know, I don't know if you're an arm and or a leg or a finger or you're an ear or. But you know, and I'm not trying to be silly. This is an illustration God chose to use. But I can tell you this: if your part, you, if you're not healthy, that can wear on us all. But if you're healthy, that helps us all. So I, with my representing my part of the body, I need to keep my part healthy because it could affect you if it's not. And now, folks, we're not talking now about physical health. I'm talking to you about spiritual health. Though the comparison is made between the physical health of a body and then the spiritual health of the church group. And that's a comparison God made, and I love it. I love what God does. He makes the Scripture so easy to understand. I don't understand folks that complicate it to the point where you don't walk away saying, I got it. That wasn't hard to understand at all. Through the last couple of weeks, I've seen a lot of illness, disease, hurt. If I could, I want to make a bit of a comparison this morning. I call the sermon the health of our church, or the health of our church body. Each person here that's a part of our church, you're a member of that body. An arm, a leg, an ear, a toe, a finger, whatever it is. But you need to keep you healthy because you affect the whole. And when you're healthy, it helps. But when we're not healthy, it can affect the whole and hurt the whole of the body. Now, stay with me if you will. I had reason to come across someone in my visits in the health care centers and things, a lady that had lost her appetite. So you all know, I've never had that sickness. Never had that sickness. I can figure out a way to eat no matter what's going on with me. But she was sick. And, you know, if you are malnutritioned long enough, it can kill you. But she had totally lost her appetite. Now, I want to recommend to everybody in here something. You're a part of the body. You've got to keep your body part spiritually healthy. You've got to eat. You say, well, what am I to eat, Pastor? You're to eat of the bread of life. This is the meat of the Word of God. This is the bread of life. This is, hey, it's what we're to eat. The Bible is called our food. It's called meat. It's called bread. It's called honey. In John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And when I saw that person and I heard the conversation going on about the malnutrition that they were facing, if I had 45 minutes, I could tell you everything that was causing with that person's body. But I can't take the time to show you the physical effect, but I can tell you this. I know exactly what God's saying. God is saying, you and I as Christians, we must eat. And we must eat right. Mrs. Owens is she's away for a couple of days. And so you say, well, preacher, what you eating? Whatever I want. She makes sure that I get vegetables and fruit and that I drink some water and some things that are good for me. I could not wait for her to leave town because I went to Harris Teeter's and I bought some Krispy Kreme apple pies. Have you ever had an apple pie made by Krispy Kreme? If you have not, you need to have one of those. I was looking up in the scripture. I think that's what manna is in the Old Testament. But you'd be proud of me. They sell a six-pack. And I knew if I got a six-pack that in 2 days I could eat them all. So I only got one. But I'm thinking about going back. But you know, I need to eat healthy. And I'm saying to everybody here, you are a part of a body that is very important. You're a part of the body of the New Testament church. And you are a body part. And you must eat right to keep yourself healthy. And your health will either be a positive or a negative effect on the body as a whole. If you don't eat of the Bible like you're supposed to, you're going to end up being sick. And I'll tell you this also. If I were you, I'd clean your plate. It's good for you. Say, what do you mean? Hey, when you hear the preaching of the Word of God, you ought to go ahead and just swallow it. Take it in. Digest it. And I want to recommend, Mrs. Owens says, you know, when I'm hungry, I don't know about you men, but when I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And when she says it's going to be 30 minutes, I'm thinking in 30 minutes I could die. So I get to taste and stuff. That's what chips were invented for. They were invented for the delay of the wife so the man eats something so he does not pass out and die before he gets his food. Now, men, stay with me here. You know I'm preaching the truth. But hey, when it comes to the Bible, I want to suggest something to you. I think you ought to snack in between meals. Now we're talking about the Word of God. And other things. Look, folks, malnutrition can affect us. Can affect the body as a whole. You need to get into your Bible. You need to read your Bible. You need to be eating of the bread of life. You need to be eating the meat of the Word of God. Folks, and let me tell you, be careful how much church you miss. You miss enough church, you'll get yourself malnutrition. You know, one of the things that will happen if someone gets themselves far enough behind on nutrition, they become delirious. They don't think right. If you don't believe it, some of you just watch your sugar and watch it get out of whack and not have what you need nutritionally. You won't think right. And when you get yourself out of church, you can make it so you don't think right and you don't think spiritually and you don't make spiritual decisions. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. Hey, we're a part of the body. We've got to keep ourselves healthy. If you're not reading your Bible, it's going to hurt you. It can hurt your attitude and your spirit. But what is it? You're a part of a body. And while I was out visiting, I realized there's somebody that's not getting the right food and the right amount of food. And because of it, they were sick. Secondly, more than one person, even some in this room, we've talked in weeks recently and prayed over back injuries that people have faced. There was a man in our church that had hurt his back and hurt himself at work. This week I watched people come in that had been in accidents and they were concerned in the emergency room about their back. You know, the back is often in the Bible, often referred to when it comes to the subject of courage. You know, people, they talk about, you know, you got a yellow streak down your back. The Bible compares it to someone having a weak backbone. The book of Proverbs actually talks about someone that has a weak backbone, and is not talking about the physical bone. It's not talking about that stem that runs down the back of you, the spine area. It's talking about there is an absence of courage in that Christian. And again, we are a part of a body. Not only are you to keep your part of the body healthy when it comes to eating the right things biblically, but you need to stay strong and courageous for the cause of Jesus Christ. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart." Hey, are you a bit sick spiritually? Is your body part sick because there is a cowardly way about you when it comes to Jesus and the Bible and doing right? Some of you have friends that you need to take a stand with, and I'm not telling you need to get your friend in a headlock and bang their head up against a wall at work, but there are some people in here that need to tell friends sometimes when they're cursing around you, "I don't want to be around that." When they want to tell the dirty joke, you need to say, "I don't listen to that dirty joke." And they invite you to do things at lunch or after work that you need to say, "I'm sorry, I don't participate in that." And I'm not telling you have to preach them an hour and a half Billy Sunday dissertation on the scripture as to why they ought not do what they do, but some of you need to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ. Because you're a part of a body, and the back is a part of our courage for Christ. We need to, there's some here, you don't want to separate from the world because you fear your friends and how they might tease you. Well, I've got news for you. Jesus got teased and mocked for what He did for you, and it's time for some of you to decide that you're going to separate from some bad practices for the cause of Christ. Don't be ashamed of being a Christian. Some of you are fearful at witnessing. You don't want to tell others about Jesus. Why? You've got a back problem. Do you remember this, though? You're a part of a whole. And when you've got a back problem, that weakness affects the whole of our local New Testament assembly. We're all a part of that body. And I realize sometimes it's a little difficult to tell people about the Savior. It's a little intimidating. But God knows it's going to be far harder for you to face the fact that they die and go to hell because you never told them about Christ. But hey, do you have a back problem? Don't damage the church body. Have a strong back for Jesus and a strong back for the church and a strong back for the Bible. I have no shame, or I am not on reserve at all about my stand for the King James Bible. I believe it's the Word of God. And I don't apologize for that. And you say, "Well, that's easy for you, Pastor." Probably it's harder for me than it is for you. I am the one that runs in the circles and at a level of leadership where those sort of things can be challenged and those sort of things that can be questioned. But it doesn't matter to me who, where, or when I will take a proper stand in regard to the inspiration and the preservation of the King James Bible. And I have. But listen, I'm trying to say, hey, are you suffering back problems? Because you're a part of the whole. You're part of this body. Thirdly, I had a call yesterday. A parent said, my child is running a fever, a high temperature. A child that was burning up with a fever, high enough to the point that, and I've met adults where their temperature rises enough they're not thinking. Again, there's some delirious thinking that could go along with it. There's a lot of things that could go along with this thought of the heat, the hot of the body. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool's rage or rageth and is confident." You know what I think of, when I think of the temperature or that hotness. You ever hear someone say he's got a hot temper? Got a hot temper? I think of how you're a part of the body. You ought to be careful to watch that your temper or your rage does not hurt the body. Are you hot-headed? Does your temper flare up? And you always think you're right, and as a result of that, that temper, it hurts people you love, hurts people that you're supposed to be good for. And let me tell everybody in here, I think everybody, every teenager, every child that's under the sound of my voice, I think you ought to love your mom and dad, I think you ought to respect your mom and dad, and I think you ought to obey your mom and dad. I think that's what the Bible teaches, and that is right. But let me say something very clearly, parents. There is a type of leadership that ought to be exercised with your children. If your children are scared to death of you because of your rage and your nasty, hateful way that you treat your kids, that's not the right way to treat your children. There's a right and a wrong way to handle our children. The Bible teaches, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I don't think wives ought to fear their husband because of a husband's rage. And I might not say this. I don't think a husband ought to fear his wife because of her rage. But what I'm trying to say, and I've come through just enough light. There are men that are beat around just like there can be women that are beat around. And I don't think either one of you ought to be beating on each other. And I think you ought to grow up and become a good Christian if that's going on in your house. You say, well, what do you think about that? I said, well, if you want someone to help take care of it, meet me behind the church and about 10 of my good men and we'll take care of you. But what I'm telling you is that hot temper, that can affect the body. That rage can affect the body. Are you in a spiritual emergency room in your Christianity because of a heated attitude and not being able to control your temper, your rage? Now, I might even say then to some of you young people, some of you teenagers, you need to get your temper under control. You're mean to your brother, or you're mean to your sister, or you're even mean toward mom and dad. And boy, the last thing you ever want to do is attack your mom and dad. And I'm just here to tell you, teenager, you're a part of this church just like the rest of us are a part of this church. And you're to behave yourself. And you are to control your anger. Because you're a part of the body. And when you're not doing right, then it affects the body as a whole. I received a phone call where someone had been poisoned. A child had drank something they were not supposed to drink. And, you know, of course, there's all sorts of chemicals under the sink here and there. And a child had drank some cleaner underneath the sink. And so they'd been poisoned. Now, let me warn you, you're a part of the body. And a body gets poisoned, it then affects the whole. Be careful that you don't find yourself poisoned by false doctrine. We studied about it in Sunday school, and over again recently, as we've been going through the New Testament, we see the warnings of heresy and false teaching, liberal preachers. And I said this to my Sunday school class this morning. I don't think everybody on the radio is a heretic, but there are probably more heretics on the radio than there are not heretics on the radio. And I don't think everybody that is on the television is a heretic, but it is packed full of heresy on the television. And I don't think everything at the Christian bookstore is full of false doctrine, but I can tell you most of it is full of false doctrine in this day and age. And there's some of you saying, oh, that seems a little offensive. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. And so you better be careful that your part of the body, you don't get poisoned by the wrong things. In Romans chapter 3, verse 13, it says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poisonous asps is under their lips. And here there are people that will teach you wrong. There are people that from whom you can learn wrong. And as a part of the body, make sure you keep yourself pure. Make sure you keep yourself taking in the right kinds of things spiritually. We get poisoned. You know, you're supposed to. And did you notice that in the scripture it talked about, I can't remember the exact word that it used, but it talked about the fact that there be no schism. What's it talking about? God wants there to be unity in the church, and we have unity in our church, and thank God for that. But we want to be careful that we don't lose that unity, and what causes that? Well, our pride causes that, and evil causes that. But I'm just telling you, false doctrine can cause that. So watch the poisoning. Are you poisoned by something that has affected your spirit? Be careful, because that poisoning will hurt you. And let me recommend this to everybody here. Get that poison out of your system. Don't affect your church. Don't hurt your church. Don't hurt your family with the poisons that you can get by being influenced by things that maybe you shouldn't have heard, maybe you shouldn't have read, things that you shouldn't have listened to. Be careful, because that will poison you. Not only that, I was talking, one of our folks has struggled with a thing called the hardening of the arteries. The hardening of the arteries. It was a man, and he was having pains. He was having some chest pains, but he said, my doctor says I've got heart, my arteries are hardening. And so it was affecting him. Well, you think about that. You and I were a part of a body. Now, how could the body be affected? Now we're talking about hardness. Hardness of something that should be soft. Hardness of something that should be tender. Hey, have you become a hard Christian? Are you hard-hearted? The Bible says in Psalm 95:8, harden not your heart. You're no longer soft toward God. You're no longer soft toward the preaching. You're no longer soft toward the man of God, or no longer soft toward the will of God. You've got that hard look on your face, and everybody is not as smart as you are. And you see that look on the face. It's very, very difficult. When people are hard, it's very difficult for them to hide the hardness. Most of the time, when somebody's hard, you look at them and you say, something going on there. You know it and I know it. And so let me recommend to all of us, don't get hard. You say, I've been through some heartaches. I've been through some burdens. Well, you know what? So have I. I've been through some burdens. I've been through some heartaches. You said, has somebody hurt me? I've been hurt. But I tell you something, I've had to work at keeping my heart tender and my heart soft. And I do not say this for, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I want to give my church a moment of testimony if I could. As I stand before you today, as best I know how, I'm right with God. I do what I'm supposed to do. I don't know of anything between my soul and the Savior. I stand in this pulpit today and I've done what I know to do to be right with my God. And my heart is tender. And my heart is soft toward God. The devil had his way, my heart would have been hard a long time ago. Because through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. I've been preaching since I was a 16-year-old boy. And I've been a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of things, and I've been involved in the work of God and watching the devil attack in vicious, nasty, evil ways. And I've had to work at it. But to date, the mercy and the grace of God has allowed me to have a heart that I believe is still tender and still soft toward God. You know what? I don't want to go into my senior years, and if they throw me in a nursing home, I don't want to be that mean, gruff, nasty old man that hates everything and hates everybody. I want you to come see me, and I want you to be able to walk away saying, that's my old preacher. You notice how tender and how soft and how life did not destroy him, but God sustained him with a tenderness. I want that desperately in my life. But when you go through things in life, you got to be careful. You'll become hard. You say, what are you saying, preacher? What I'm trying to tell you is we're all a part of the same body. And if you're not careful, that body can get a hardness about it. And when one part of the body's hard, it affects the rest of the body. You take the hardness of the arteries. You say, well, the arteries in my legs are not hard, so I'm healthy, but wonder if the arteries near the heart are hard. I guess you got a problem then, don't you? So one part of the body can affect the entire body, and that's what God was telling us there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I at the hospital, someone had come in and they had a neck brace on. They'd been in a collar. I think that's what they call it. They had a collar on. They'd hurt their neck, and I got to thinking about that. Nehemiah 9:29, the Bible says, it uses these words, and hardeneth their neck and would not hear. The Bible says in Psalm 75:5, lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. In Jeremiah 17:23, it says, it mentions that but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Now folks, this thing of being stiff-necked, say, what is that? That has to do with our pride. Our pride. You're a part of the body. Is your part of the body full of pride? Is your part of the body stiff-necked? Then what God was saying is you're a part of a whole, but when you are stiff-necked and full of pride, that affects the body. Will you not listen when people try to help you? And again, I have nobody in mind whatsoever. I just experience this over and over and over again. I can say to someone, whatever you do, I wouldn't do that right there. Within a week, they've done it. I'm thinking, you are going to destroy yourself. You can and what is it? They're just stiff-necked. They're just full of pride, and they're going to do what they're going to do. And folks, let me warn you, our God tries to protect us. Our God tries to minimize the damage that we can do to ourselves and to our families. And by the way, I got to remind you, and the church, we're a part of a body. And let me say to everybody in here, I do not claim to be a theologian. Matter of fact, I don't want to be a theologian. I just want to know the Bible enough that I can help people and live what I know. But let me tell you something. If you have some type of a spiritual education, you better be very, very careful that you don't think God brought you to the church to keep an eye on everybody to make sure everybody else is right because you've got a corner on the market on spiritual education. Oh, my. An education can be a good thing, but at the same time, an education can be a bad thing for you. You know, there are people that actually spend all their time critiquing every little thing. And, hey, I want you to try the spirits. I'm glad for you to do that. I want you to bring your Bible. Matter of fact, I want you to, hey, if I preach something that's not in the Bible, then I'm wrong. And I'm not afraid to say that. But some people are almost spiritually educated beyond their own character and common sense to perform, and they spend more time critiquing and analyzing everything the preacher says than they do living it. If you're like that, and I don't know of anybody that's behaving that way, but let me tell you something. It might be good if you develop that attitude to put your life where your mouth is, and let me see how many people you're winning to Christ, and how many churches you've built, and how much of the Bible you actually know, and how many people you've influenced for the cause of right. Might be smart for you to sit there and learn from the Word of God and let somebody mold you and make you into something decent for God instead of being such a big shot and so impressed with your mind. Now, I'm not trying to make you mad at me. But I am telling you, a stiff-necked person is someone that there's a pride issue. It's always the other person that's wrong. Be careful. That'll hurt you. And when it hurts you, then it hurts the body. Not only that, there was someone, and you know, y'all know if you one of the first things that happened, I got a call from one of my family members. And they asked, said, "Dad, pray about thus and so." And one of my grandchildren was not feeling well. And my son said, "Dad, pray about this." And I said, "It sounds to me like you ought to consider this." I said, "They need a lot of water right now." And you know, you all hear that and you think, "Oh, what's a big deal?" Let me tell you something. Dehydration will take you down very quickly. And we all think, that's just what you say when you don't know what else to say. Drink lots of water, get some rest. No, there's more to it than that. But the question was asked, and I said, they need some water. And I said, what I think is they've had the flu, and as a result of the flu, they have dehydrated. And that's where part of the headaches are coming from, and that's where some of these other symptoms are coming from. Well, what do dads know? And so a week later, I get a telephone call, and not a word was said about the advice that old dad had given. Said, "Well, we went to the doctor, and they were dehydrated and needed water." And I'm thinking, I told you, knucklehead. But the dehydration thing, I'm going to tell you all something. There's a part of the Christian life that is to be a compassionate part. And the Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." May I say to everybody under the sound of my voice, a part of the Christian life is caring about other people. You go along with the pride and you go along with some of that stiff-necked attitude that can develop. Let me ask you this question. How are your tears? What's happened to Christians who weep? You say, "I'm concerned for my son. I'm concerned for my daughter." Have you wept any tears? Oh, you weep tears of your rage or your personal hurt, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a compassion and a concern because of the hurt that somebody else experiences. When's the last time you say, I fear for my wife, or oh, I fear for my husband? How much time have you spent on your face weeping for your wife? Weeping for your husband. There are people in this room, I have wept more over your family than you have. And dehydration. Have your tears dried up? When the church loses her compassion, It's lost one member at a time. I have watched many a church where the altar call is given, and you'll watch people come down, and it's not a show. And I'm not for putting on a show. I don't think people ought to come and put on a show. I don't think you ought to come up here and try to weep and make a scene in front of everybody. But I've watched people sincerely hit this altar, and I've watched people with tears flowing down their faces crying out to God that God would help. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And the New Testament church needs to get their tears back and realize there's something to this thing. My wife sings a song called Tears Are a Language That God Understands. Are you suffering from dehydration? Are you a part of the whole and you're dehydrated? And as a result of that, is the whole not well? I think of the thought of a heart problem. And deal with this quite often. Is your heart what it ought to be for God? And a week or so ago, I preached an entire sermon on a Sunday morning and said it's a matter of the heart. And most of your issues are not issues of what we call the issue, the surface issue. It's your heart. The Bible says in Psalm 78:37, for their heart was not right. And I'm not going to take a bunch of time to go into it. The Bible mentions in Psalm 104:2, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Your mischievous, your evil doings come from your heart. It's not something caused it. It's something that's in your heart, and it surfaces. Now, let me say to everybody in here, you better have your heart right with God. Your heart problem, that's a scary thing. You say, Brother Owens, that's one of the big ones. Boy, when somebody gets to talking about their heart physically, that's scary. Let me tell you something. When you got a bad heart spiritually, that's scary. That's one of the big ones. But you know that if you let your health, your body's health, get out of control enough, you can die. You can die. I received a call. Someone had emailed me and said, Pastor Owens, we know you pray, and we have a friend that is dying. Could you pray? I prayed. It was followed up with another email. The person for whom I was praying died. The body can die. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you'll go to heaven. But let me tell you something. It ought not be that you go to heaven prematurely because of your misbehavior. You know, there comes a point in some, you know, my belief is this, and I think it's very scriptural. If you're still alive and sucking air, God has a purpose for your life. You ought to thank God for that. But there can come a point when God says, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and bring you to heaven. I'm done with you. You have tried me and tried me and tried me. You're now hurting the body more than you're helping the body. I will transfer you. You say, that's a mean God. No, that's a merciful God. That's a merciful God. He would transfer you so you did no more damage to yourself. That way you don't do any more damage to the other parts of the body. And so, you know, I never pray for that. You know, I've heard preachers say, I'm just praying God kills him. I never pray like that. I don't know where they get that attitude. I just don't feel that way. I've never asked that God kill my enemies or torture my enemies. I ask God to bless my enemies. I've never asked God to kill this person or go after that person. I've never felt that way. And you got to be in pretty bad spiritual shape to be acting that way. But I will warn you. The Bible makes it real clear that God can say, I'm going to have to make a move here. I'm going to transfer you. So to everybody in the room, those of you that are a part of this New Testament assembly, you're a part of the body. And could we all, for the sake of the rest, let's keep our part healthy. You say, well, that's my life, and what I do with it is up to me. I got a problem with that, because first of all, it's his life. Whether you like it or whether I like it, we're all a part of the same body. And so when you say, well, what I do, it affects me. No, what you do affects me. And your wife and your husband and your children and your parents and your friends. I don't know why God did it that way, but that was the way God chose to do it. And so he said this. He said, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So as born-again Christians, let you and I try to keep ourselves healthy. And if you just thought of every disease and how it affects you, I almost guarantee you there are correlations in the Bible as to how that will then affect you spiritually. But there's one other thing, and that's the issue of salvation. If you're saved and you're sick, get it cared for. But if you're not saved, as of this moment, unless you get it cared for, you're terminal. You are terminal. In other words, if there's never been a time when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. You ought to feel like you're in the emergency room right now, and you ought to get that taken care of right away. I don't know if you'll have another breath. I think you will, but I don't know if you'll have another breath or another time. But if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, the Bible teaches that lack of trusting Christ will send you to hell when you die. And I don't want that for you. I used to not understand when preachers would talk about how hell affected them. Somehow the human race has become more and more precious to me through the years. And I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. So if you're here and you've never trusted Christ, I wish you'd get saved today. If you have trusted Christ and you're a part of the body that's sick, get it cared for. Because God is interested in these people in this building this day. He has a personal interest in your health. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question will be that of the concern of salvation. Here's the question. If you died today, do you know if for a fact you'd go to heaven, or would you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I've not trusted Christ as my Savior. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not born again. Would you raise your hand right now and say, pray for me. I'm not born again. You may. Then let me ask you this. Would there somebody here say, Preacher, tucked in the explanation of the body and the illnesses and the way that we affect the body, I can see there's some part of my life that might need a little more health to it. I need to work on an area or two so I'm healthier for God's sake, for my sake, for the sake of those around me. God helping me, preacher, I'm going to work to be healthier in an area as a result of something that I've heard today. Would you raise your hand and say, God spoke to me about some things? Sure. God bless you. You may put those hands down. In a moment, we're going to have an altar call. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need a moment at this altar where maybe you just get on your knees and say, God, help me. I want to be spiritually healthy. I don't want to hurt my church, but I don't want to hurt you, God. But if you need this altar, you come. And maybe you have a burden, a heartache, just a need. That's fine. You use the altar for whatever God leads. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you need the altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. If you need to pray for a moment, you come. If there's something about you that's unhealthy spiritually, you come. Do you need the altar for a moment? Do you need to come and just say, Lord, there's a part of me that's not spiritually healthy, and I need to get it cared for. I don't want to hurt the cause of Christ. I don't want to hurt my church. I don't want to hurt the people that I love. You think about it. Neck problems, heart problems, dehydration, paralyzation, a hardness. People coming that have accepted Christ. There are people coming just to be dealt with in regard to the Lord and the altar. You come if you need to come. Hey, I touched on something a few moments ago. When was the last time you wept over a spiritual matter? Husbands, you want a good leadership tool in your home with your spouse? Try tears. Parents, You want a good tool to help your kids? Let your kids see your tears for right and for good. Sunday school teacher, you say, "Preacher, I'd really like to get the attention of my students." Have they ever seen a tear roll down your face? You say, "I have a rebellious teenager." Do they have a broken-hearted parent that weeps tears that are visible to God and man? All right, folks, you can have a seat there.